Hello, and welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast, hosted by Enterprise Management Associates, an industry-leading IT analyst research firm that provides deep insights across the full spectrum of IT and data management technologies. The Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast will take a deep dive into the security topics that are top of mind for information security practitioners, IT professionals, and technology business leaders. Join security experts Chris Steffen, VP of Research at EMA, and Ken Buckler, Research Analyst at EMA, for some truly awesome topics. Chris and Ken, take it away.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Steffen. Joining me today is, as usual, my friend and colleague, Mr. Ken Buckler. Today, we're going to talk about an attack, actually a vulnerability, wasn't really ever an attack, that has come up in the Linux world. And we don't always talk a lot about Linux. It doesn't really have a firm basis out in user computing. But what you may or may not realize is that most of the world actually runs on some version of Linux. And that's why it's particularly relevant. So without taking and getting a whole lot into it, I thought I would take and pass it along to Ken. Ken's going to give us a updated summary of this vulnerability, and then we'll talk a little bit about supply chain, some other things like that, and see where we end up. So Ken, why don't you give us a summary of this particular vulnerability?
So I actually would classify this as an attack. And the reason being is this was actually a malicious attempt to insert a backdoor into SSH. And the way that that was designed was not directly attacking OpenSSH, but by attacking the libraries that are used by OpenSSH. Specifically, it's a library called the XZutils. And basically, the way it works is it's designed to look when SSH goes to verify a signature of someone trying to remotely authenticate. The XZutils backdoor looks for a specific signature that the attacker actually implanted within the backdoor and sees, okay, does it match this signature? If it matches this signature, let them in. If it doesn't match this signature, then go back through your normal authentication process. So this was absolutely an attempt to really infect as many computers as across the world as possible that are using SSH for remote authentication. And you know, they successfully did get incorporated into some of the distributions, apparently. Not many, but apparently some of them were actually incorporated it. So it really interesting stuff.
Yeah, the way that I read it is actually the distributions were kind of still in an alpha internal use when they started looking at them. So again, this is not to panic people. This isn't one of those, you know, go jump off a bridge. But it does bring up a couple different interesting points. The first one is how important it is to take and make certain that you're up to date and making certain that you're using the latest updates on regardless of your operating system to make certain that you are protected from these kind of attacks. This one was discovered very early on before it was distributed to pretty much everybody. And so if you had your updates correctly, this is probably not going to be a problem for your environment. Everybody uses SSH to a degree to get into these environments. So that's why this one is particularly relevant. Second of all, when you start talking about supply chain in general, it's important to know how others are taking and doing their updates to protect you from these kind of attacks. You don't always know, and you probably really need to know a little bit more. Talk to me about the supply chain aspect of these kind of attacks.
Yeah, so I mean, if you think about SSH, for example, that's a really good example here. SSH is open source. It is built upon multiple other open source projects. And where the challenge becomes is that all of these different open source projects, they all have dependencies themselves. And you really end up with an entire supply chain of open source projects, of open source executables, open source code, that you then have to worry about, are all of these things secure, not just the SSH software itself. So that's really the challenge with supply chain security, is that you need to not just look at what you have installed directly, but what that all comes with. And so, and sometimes that can be extremely complex, especially if you're looking at reused code that was incorporated directly into the software or what have you, you know, and even, you know, even operating systems like Microsoft Windows, they have some proprietary, some open source software that has been included as dependencies for compiling that operating system. So it's all a matter of knowing fully what is actually being used on your systems. Now, there are a lot of vendors out there, well, not a lot, but there are some vendors out there that have started to better analyze this for you to give you a full scope of everything that's on your system, all of the dependencies, and what might actually be vulnerable. So a really interesting field, and it's definitely growing, but it's still a very new field.
Yeah, I think since the SolarWinds attacks, we've seen very renewed and very exponentially growth in interest in supply chain attacks. What they mean to you, how are you taking and doing your vendor due diligence? What does that mean to your company? What alternatives do you have to the company that you're particularly using? And how is that company that you're using accountable to you, your organization, and to making certain that they're secure? I keep on talking about this over and over again, and I talk about it with almost every vendor that I speak to. I am interested in regulatory compliance. There's no question about it. We're going to continue talking about regulatory compliance. But at the end of the day, I think that vendor due diligence and vendor management is actually going to be where the regulatory compliance control concern is going to be located. Why do I say that? Because you can come up with a set of compliance controls for every particular vendor that are going to be important, and a lot of them are passed down. You're going to continue hearing about those. Absolutely. Let's continue doing that. And they're going to continue doing that. But where it's more interesting is that you can hear from the federal government, a state government, a local government saying you have to comply, or you can take and hear from a company that is literally writing a check to you every month for the business that you do back and forth. Which one are you going to pay more attention to? And the answer is you got to pay attention to both. But you might be able to take and have a certain amount of time before a regulatory control comes and gives you enough problems to shut down your business. If Bob's Big Bank and Trust does not want to cut you a check anymore and does not want to do business with you, then you are hurting in your pocketbook. You have to take and comply with their vendor due diligence requirements. That's all part of the supply chain. If all of a sudden they decide that you're part of the contribution to their applications, to their environment, to their infrastructure, whatever it is that you're providing to them is no longer secure, or another alternative that is more secure or more aligned with their practices might be a better fit at relatively the same cost, whatever have you, you are not going to be in business anymore. It really is not any more complicated than that. These are the kind of things that I am hearing about more and more. PCI DSS 4.0, literally came into being in the last week or two. You're going to hear more about that. You constantly hear about Zero Trust and FedRAMP and CMMC, and we talk about them too. I'm not saying that they're not relevant, but we don't really talk nearly as much about the supply chain impacts of vendor due diligence. And in my opinion, when you start looking at trends to 2024, 2025, that's where that concentration is going to be.
And you brought up CMMC. And that's probably the best example of where the regulatory compliance is heading. You know, so CMMC is really the DoD's attempts to secure their own supply chain, because they're trying to put in the CMMC to get all of their vendors to provide better assurances that they're actually secure. So I think that as we see supply chain attacks occur more often and more attention getting paid to supply chain, I think you're going to start to see more regulations similar to CMMC starting to become adopted by industries, and also focusing a lot more on just beyond your single level, but looking at your suppliers as well.
Yeah, we're not done talking about it. And, you know, you brought up a great point there with CMMC too. Again, a lot of organizations are just now trying to figure out what this is going to mean to them. We've already started to talk about the maturity, and it's become almost accepted, knock on wood, almost accepted, that you need to be secure in your own environment. But then we need to continue talking about what it means for others that interact with you to be more secure in their environments, because it has a detrimental impact on you. Anyway, great conversation today. I really appreciate your insights, Ken. If this is interesting to you, please let us know. And if you have other topics that you might be interested in talking about or hearing about on the CSA podcast, the Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast, please let us know about those as well. You can reach us on LinkedIn or through the EMA website or whatever have you. But until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Chris and Ken, for all your great insights on today's topic. Make your next podcast awesome when you work with EMA security experts Chris Steffen or Ken Buckler. Educate your prospects, differentiate your solution, and add the credibility of a third-party expert to your message. Visit cybersecurityawesomeness.com to listen to past episodes.